and address this question.
Thanks, Andrea. First, I'd like to thank all of you for coming to Atlanta to witness this process. I am not the only attorney in the case. I have five colleagues, including Rafael Inglada, who's here from Puerto Rico, and Roberto Gonzalez, who's also working with us. But I do want to give you an update and try to give you some understanding of what will happen tomorrow. This is the third time this case is being argued on appeal. No lawyer that I know of has ever heard of one case being argued three times before finally getting a decision in the appellate court. And it's almost as if somehow this system cannot digest this case. It is a massive case. At the time the case was tried, it was the longest trial in the United States. There are 119 volumes of testimony, 20,000 pages of exhibits. The trial lasted over 6 months and is one of the leading hallmark cases in the United States. Tomorrow, we will be given just 30 minutes for all five to state our position on this level of appeal. That comes down to 6 minutes per defendant. And as you know, three are serving life, including my client. So what we have to do tomorrow in a very compressed period of time is to argue the impact of these 119 volumes and these thousands of pages of exhibits. And as in the case of all appeals, the focus of the court will narrow on particular aspects of the case. And that's what I want to talk about. When we first argued the appeal, back in 2004, the issue was whether or not Miami could give the five a fair trial. We won that appeal, and a three-judge court wrote a 93-page opinion saying that a fair trial in Miami for the five was impossible and reversed all of the convictions. But Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General of the United States, now discredited and probably facing impeachment, ordered the United States attorneys to appeal that victory to the full court of the 11th Circuit sitting here in Atlanta. And we argued that case before the 12 judges of that court, and they reversed the victory we had before the initial panel of judges. I might say that first panel of judges, three judges, combined 80 years of judicial experience collectively, was a very extraordinary court. Two of the judges had achieved very high scholarship in their student life and in their professional life. And they wrote the longest opinion ever written in the United States on the question of fair trial. So it was a stunning victory. And when we argued before the full court of 12 judges, we were astounded when they decided to reverse that unanimous decision of the three judges. And they wrote a 43-page opinion. But when you read that opinion, they never mention in 43 pages the climate of opinion in Miami. It was as if this case was tried in New York. And they focused only on the courtroom, but not the community. We have the right to take their reversal to the Supreme Court, and we will do it if it's necessary. But after they reversed the initial panel, they sent the case back to the court where we will be arguing tomorrow. And depending on how you regard the record, there are anywhere from 9 to 26 issues which are before this court tomorrow. But since we have 30 minutes, we will be arguing those issues which we feel are the most significant. And there are three. First, we will be arguing that the count against Gerardo Hernandez, a count which alleges that he was involved in a conspiracy to commit a murder, arising out of the fact that the Cuban Air Force shot down 2 intruding planes in February of 1996, and 4 people were killed. But the record in the court indicates that Gerardo had nothing to do with this. And even the government at one point conceded that it could not prove that Gerardo Hernandez was involved in that shootdown. And so we will be asking the court tomorrow to dismiss that count entirely and to remove the life sentence that was imposed on Gerardo as a result of the shootdown. As you all understand, there is another question, aside from the fact that they had no evidence linking Gerardo, and that is the question, did Cuba have the right as a sovereign state to defend its own airspace? And that will be addressed also. This is the first time in anyone's memory that an individual person is being held accountable for what an air force of a sovereign state does in protecting its own airspace. So the case is unprecedented on that level. Secondly, we will be asking the court to set aside the convictions for the conspiracy to commit espionage against 3 of the 5. And the 3 are serving life sentences for that charge. It's very important to remember the charge is conspiracy. The government acknowledges they had no proof that espionage occurred. A conspiracy under the laws of the United States is an agreement to commit a crime. And it's the agreement that is illegal. And the government said, we have no proof that espionage occurred, but we ask a Miami jury to infer from circumstantial evidence that the 3 must have had an agreement. And the Miami jury, of course, complied. There has never been a case in the history of the United States where there was an allegation of espionage without a single page of classified documents. Not one page. The government downloaded the computers of the five and got the full documentation of their work, 20,000 pages, and there wasn't one page that was classified. Not only that, but I have to tell you, there has never been a case involving charges of espionage where the defense called two generals, one admiral, and the advisor to the President of the United States on Cuba. There has never been a trial of espionage like this one. So we're asking the court tomorrow to set aside that conviction because the evidence was insufficient. And in addition, the prosecutor, when he argued this case to a Miami jury, told the jurors that these five came to the United States in order to destroy the United States. That was the argument that was made in a case where the five had no guns, had no explosives, committed no sabotage, there was no arson, no Americans were injured. But this prosecutor argued to the jury that they came here to destroy the United States. Not once, he argued it three times. In addition to that, he violated any number of norms that control what's called fair comment by a prosecutor. A prosecutor is not permitted under our rules to express his personal belief. He can only discuss the evidence. But this prosecutor shouted to the jury, "My God, these men are spies." Totally unacceptable argument. And he made a number of other allegations which were outside of the evidence that was presented. He said that Cuba, he told this Miami jury that Cuba was watching this case very closely and that the case was important to Cuba, telling his fellow people in Miami, "You must condemn these men," as a way of sending a message to Cuba. Outside the evidence, improper comment, highly prejudicial. He told them they have to defend their community against Cuba, encouraging them as jurors to follow the prosecution, the government's theory, as a way of defending against Cuba. This mix of argument is completely outside the bounds of proper argument and should lead to a reversal of the conspiracy to commit espionage charges. If none of this works, and the court is indicating that it still thinks that the espionage charges should stay, then we have a third argument. And the third argument is this. The serious charge of conspiracy to commit espionage carries a life sentence. and it has been imposed in the most serious espionage cases in American history. If you remember, Aldrich Ames gave the Soviets hundreds, if not thousands, of documents for millions of dollars. Robert Hansen did the same, and the documents he gave, all classified, as were Aldrich Ames, led to the deaths of several American agents. And the young man named Robert Walker gave the classified documents on the Navy nuclear submarine fleet to the Soviet Union. Those three notorious spies all received life. But in this case, not a single page of classified information was turned over. And yet, the three who were charged with espionage were given the same life sentence as Aldrich Ames and Robert Hansen and Robert Walker. When it's very clearly written in the guidelines for sentencing that you look at what the alleged actor did in the crime to see what damage was done to the United States, and then you impose the sentence. Well, when the five were arrested, the Pentagon issued a statement at the time of their arrest saying national security was never in danger by the five. The Justice Department also issued a statement saying they never got secrets. And yet, when they were sentenced, they were given the maximum sentence that's reserved for the most serious criminal activity in espionage. So we're going to be arguing that as well, that their sentence was unlawful and has to be set aside, and they have to be resentenced properly. So the three arguments you'll hear tomorrow are count three, the conspiracy to commit murder should be dismissed. Count two, the conspiracy to commit espionage should be set aside and perhaps sent back for a new trial. And finally, if none of the above occurs, the life sentence for espionage should be set aside. Now, there are many other issues, and the court could ask us questions tomorrow on any of those other issues. But what I'm sharing with you tonight are the issues that we intend to bring before the court. And the court is at liberty to question us on other issues as well. When will we get a decision, everyone asks. The last time we argued to a three-judge court here in Atlanta, it took 16 months before we got a decision. I don't think this case will take 16 months this time, but it will take more than weeks, and we're talking probably months. And it's hard to pick a date. There is no deadline for the court. There are only deadlines for the lawyers. We have to file our papers under a deadline. But the court can take as long as it likes. My own guess, and this is just a guess, is that we might be hearing toward the end of the year, maybe early next year. But I have no basis for saying that. I'm just picking a reasonable amount of time. We had three judges the last time we argued, and as I mentioned, these were eminent judges. Probably the most eminent of all has sadly retired, and we lost Judge Oaks. And he has been replaced by a new judge, Judge Pryor, and he will be the third judge with the two of our old judges. And that will make up the three-judge court. Judge Pryor is the youngest member of this court, the youngest judge on the 11th Circuit, and he is the newest member. I want to add one thing further. The two judges from our original panel wrote a dissenting opinion when their decision was reversed. And their dissenting opinion was very strong in our favor. So two of the three judges sitting there tomorrow have strongly expressed themselves that this case represents an injustice to the five men, that they never had a fair trial. Now, if you have to argue, as we must, to a three-judge court, it's somewhat reassuring, and I want to end on a higher note, it's somewhat reassuring to know that two of the three judges have already said these five men should have all of their charges reversed, not just some of them, and this case should start again in a different place and with a new beginning. So I don't know how they're going to be impacted by tomorrow's argument, but it's reassuring to know that they begin with that feeling that the five should not be in an American prison. So I want to leave you with that hope. The argument will be technical. Two lawyers will be arguing, and they will be arguing these technical points of law and some of the facts. But I think it should be quite interesting and challenging. We have 30 minutes. The government has 30 minutes. So you'll hear from both sides. The lawyer arguing for the government is the same lawyer who tried the case. Caroline Heck Miller will be arguing the government's case. The lawyers arguing for us will be the chief appellate lawyer for the Federal Public Defenders in Miami, Richard Klug, and his associate, Brenda Morgan. Okay, so I want to leave you with that. I hope to see many of you there tomorrow, and I want to thank all of you for coming and supporting this case. It really is a case that deserves a lot of attention.